Committee on Public Affairs and open a public hearing on House Bill 2989. We have people who write like physicians and need to be a pharmacist, I guess. That's M. Chris Brawley and Bob Adams. Garden Post. Oh, no? No one here?
We'll just move the train on.
Chair members of the committee, House Bill 2989C, the bill that gives legislative intent to implement Title I of the Federal Workforce Investment Act of 1998. It's using the current workforce models to help workers take responsibility for building a better future for themselves and their family. It establishes a 37-member workforce investment board and prescribes the composition of the board. And we do have some representatives here who will give further explanation of that.
Members of the committee and Chair Starr, I'm Cam Coyce Brawley. I'm the Governor's Workforce Policy Coordinator and have worked with Representative Beyer and the Association of Oregon County with me today to bring to you the be engrossed version of the bill. We do support the bill as drafted, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you.
Bobby,
you want
to go
next?
I just would respond that the Association of Oregon Counties, in working through with this bill, does support the bill as written. Excuse me, sure. I'm Bob Adams. I'm a Benton County Commissioner and head of a task force on this issue for the Association of Oregon Counties. Association of Oregon Counties does support the bill as written. It's based on a set of principles that we agreed to support. Those exist in this bill, and we've taken the position that we would support the bill. I guess maybe that's what I need to say today. We did look at an executive order at one time, which also had in it the principles that we were supportive of, and in the end, if there was any problem with this particular bill, then we would be supportive of that executive order.
Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Gordon Foltz of the Association of Oregon Counties. I guess I would just expand a bit on what Bob had outlined, is that we have been in the process of assisting negotiations since about February between a number of parties, Bill Lynn Corporation, the House Majority Office, the Governor's Office, and ourselves, and have worked through, as Bob suggested, a set of principles. We had just a few weeks ago decided we would basically support an executive order which encompassed our principles until Representative Beyer came to us and said he would like to try to bring the negotiations back to the table. We worked for about 2 weeks to come up with what you have in this bill as a compromise between all those parties, and felt very comfortable that we had a piece of legislation that would not only be unanimously supported, but would also be supported after the signing and into the implementation stage. And so we're very comfortable with what we have. We understand there's a proposed amendment today that might create some discomfort, a result of which could well be no legislation. And so I guess that's a difficult call. We think that having all parties on the table is certainly better than not. So we are here to support the piece of legislation as drafted.
Question? Just one, Mr. Chair, for a minute. Gordon, with this Federal Workforce Investment Act, is there any fiscal involved? Is there any federal funds coming to us? Or do we have to match those funds? Or
members of the committee and Senator Tarno, there are federal funds that come with this, and yes, there is a fiscal impact, and it will probably be covered by federal funds. It was unanticipated in the governor's budget. The board currently in existence just expands what's necessary, is a necessary expansion of that board from 18 members to 37 members. And we do believe that the fiscal that you should have is an impact of $302,000 for additional staff for the increased size of the board.
Measure gone two ways in the
Mr. Chairman, no, it has not. We would anticipate, it's our best guess that it will take two additional staff than we currently have, and would probably be seeking either your advice on the best way to handle that fiscal or to head to the emergency board once it is fully identified.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. Adrian.
Chairman Starr, members of the committee, I'm Ted Abram. I'm with Gel Wind Corporation, Klamath Falls, Oregon. We, just very briefly, looked into the Workforce Investment Act and written some documents on it as to how we think it should be implemented. Most of what we suggested is not in this bill at this particular time at all. I think Mr. Foltz would stand corrected that we were part of the negotiations on this bill, but we were not in the final negotiations on this particular bill. I think that was strictly between Representative Beyer and what other entities there are. The amendment that we would like, and then we would support the bill, is Section 6, the beginning paragraph, 2, 3, and A, B, and C be deleted. And the purpose for this is that we at Gerald Wynn and feel very strongly that the lead state agency should be Adult and Family Services. And the reason for that, and I won't take up your time, but Adult and Family Services is, in my opinion, the best agency in the United States. It just does a spectacular job. This bill does not require that. And as it stands right now, Section 6, 2, 3, and 4, including A, B, and C, and including the first paragraph, would require that the Adult and Family Services and the TANF funds be part of this program. And we're very much opposed to that. If it was a lead state agency, then we're very much in favor, but this bill does not require that. And therefore, we think that they should be, as they are under the Federal Act, a voluntary part of this program. And therefore, we'd just like to see Section 6 down to C deleted at this particular time, and then we support this.
You're looking on page 5 of the engrossed bill, lines 11 through 24.
I do not have that in front of me, sir. Mr. Chair. That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
And the essence of the difference, just so we, if I may, Mr. Chair, would be, would AFS be a voluntary partner and the parent fund, or would they be a mandatory partner? And unless they're the lead state agency that runs this whole program, then we firmly, very, very strongly believe that they should only be a voluntary partner. That's the essence of what I'm suggesting.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duke.
What is it you're concerned will happen if they're one of the participants but not the lead agent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Booth, there's a lot of money in the tariff money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of desire of various agencies to be able to control that money. And it's how that money is controlled. And that's what's very big concern to me.
Are there further questions? Hearing none.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to close public hearing on House Bill 2989 and open the work session on House Bill 3633. Call Harvey Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Harvey Matthews from the Speaker's Office. I'm proud to bring to you today the amendment that you asked for yesterday very wisely to House Bill 3633. We dealt with the issue of having the emergency board allocate additional resources to Department of Education as per the statute 329.825 and 329.830. Representative from the OEA, Lori Wimmer, and I both worked with Cindy Hunt in legislative council on this, and we both feel very confident this deals with the issue that you brought up.
The amendment is numbers -A7 amendment. I have a copy of that. Are there questions? We are in work session.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the -A7 amendment to House Bill 3633.
Senator Duke, just move the -A7 amendment to House Bill 3633. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The amendment has been approved.
Move the bills amended as
Senator Tarno moves House Bill 3633 as amended for us to pass recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Senator?
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. House Bill 3633 is amended to put forth to pass recommendation, and the good Senator on the line. Brooks will carry Senator Shannon.
Yes, no. Is it coming out of her budget?
It's coming.
Don't know.
The chair will carry. Right, we're going to move on to a possible reconsideration. We're open work session on possible reconsideration for House Bill 3492. And we need.
Yes,
Mr. Chair, move to suspend the rules for purpose of reconsidering House Bill 3492.
Senator Tarno has moved to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 3492. This motion allows for no discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Motion.
Reconsider.
Aye. Mr. Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Carlos?
Aye.
Senator
Wild?
Aye.
Senator
Garth?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee reconsider House Bill 3492.
Senator Tarno has moved that the committee reconsider House Bill 3492B. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Sheriff Feller?
Aye. The motion carries. House Bill 3492 is now before the committee as if it had not been heard.
As if it had not been heard?
That's correct, but we are in a work session.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3492B, we discussed yesterday. This is basically the tobacco labeling bill. It had the B16 amendments that the committee approved. We are bringing it back today with the -B17. What the -B17 amendments do is it removes all the language pertaining to the purchasing of tobacco by a minor, thus with the hopes of removing the fiscal impact on the bill.
So the B16 still holds.
No, we need to move the B16.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the -B17. If I understand it correctly, that gets rid of a suspension of driver's license. I spent time last night thinking about the Attorney General's office's response, question and answer today, and the only thing I could think of that they were talking about was bench suspensions, which haven't been legal in the state for several years, because there's no way of enforcing them. I don't think their notion that this is going to be flexible, that they could suspend a license for one day or a weekend, is really going to work anyway.
Further discussion? The Chair believes that we need to move the B-17 amendments, but I also desire to move the B-16 amendments, which must be accomplished again. Are there any further discussion on the motion to move the B-17 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move. Okay, we
No further discussion. Any objection? Order.
Chair, I will move the -B16 amendment to HB3492, which has previously amended.
Senator Wild has moved the B16 amendments to House Bill 3492 as previously amended by the B17 amendments. Further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair, we'll move HB3492 as amended to the floor to pass recommendation.
Senator Wild has moved HB3492 as amended to the floor for due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
We're ready to move the amended motion.
No, if you want to keep moving.
All right.
You just vote no.
All righty. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. House Bill 3492 of the members move to support the due pass recommendation. Carrier is. Who would like to carry?
Oh, I can.
Senator Wild will carry. We will go ahead. All right, see, we will go and open a work session on Senate Bill 540. Senator Duncan. We're in work session. We invite Senator Duncan to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate this opportunity. Senate Bill 540.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
thought was on your hoodie. Well, so I thought you recognized it. I'm Senator Vern Duncan, Senate District Number 12. And Mr. Chair, the older gentleman to your left, I wasn't sure who he was. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 540 was a bill that came before the Health and Human Services Committee. It's a bill that deals with spinal cord research, and as you probably know, we're on the breakthrough, I think, of some exciting things in that arena. And our committee was kind of excited about the possibility. It did have quite a fiscal impact, so we passed it in Health and Human Services, sent it on to Ways and Means. Well, because of the financial situation, and we recognize the problems, the possibility of funding this is not in the cards for this session. So I did meet with the subcommittee on Health and Human Services on Saturday, and they moved it to the full committee, moved it to your committee. What we've made a few changes, and there are the dash four changes. Really, the bill would continue with forming to establish a spinal cord research group. You would establish a team of physicians in that particular field, people who have spinal cord injuries themselves, the seniors, disabilities groups, various groups would be represented, and they would be appointed by the governor. What we'd like to do is to get this group formed, get them working. We'd like to have them be in the position of qualifying to seek grants or to accept the donations that people might want to commit to this particular cause. Because it would have the backing of the state, you know, the chances for grants and other opportunities really are much higher. So that's why we'd like to get it moving now. We're assured, because of the interest in this and because of the qualifications of many of the positions and so forth, that you're talking about people who would be willing to commit their time without any resources. So we did change in the Dash 4 amendments, the changes so that no person would receive any remuneration for serving on this group. And the other change, we gave the governor some options. Rather than saying he had to appoint so many people from each group, we said would select from those various groups. We've inserted $1 to make it official, and if someone wants to add to that account, they can. So, Mr. Chair, I would urge the adoption of the Dash 4 amendments and the bill, and if we can move it rapidly to the House, we think we might be able to get something done before this session is over. And so I would appreciate your expeditious movement in this particular bill. I'd be happy to respond to any questions you might have.
I heard questions. Thank you very much. So that was both. Wait a minute. We're in work session. I'm sorry. We're going to stay in work session until we act on this.
We've been 4 minutes to share the House.
Senator Tarnow has moved the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 540. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, supporter.
Mr. Chair, move Senate Bill 540 as amended to the floor of recommendation.
Senator Tarnow has moved Senate Bill 540 as amended to the floor of pre-pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Senator
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 540 moves forward to due pass recommendation. Senator Duncan will carry.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if it might be appropriate to ask Senator Lim if he would like to carry it first.
We will ask him first.
I'd be happy to if he doesn't, but I'm sure he might like to carry this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Senator Duncan.
You're getting a lot of votes, I think.
Isn't that strange? We will open a public hearing on House Bill 3202. And I have signed up to speak on that. John Lecker, Paul Cosgrove.
Chair, I would be in a conference committee at 4 and then 3:30.
All right, keep your own. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Paul Pastor representing the American Sports and Paper Association. I believe Mr. Ledger is just out in the hall and on his way in. The American Sports and Paper Association supports House Bill 3202. Mr. Ledger will give you a brief rundown of what the bill does. I'd like to respond to one of the issues that's been raised with respect to the bill. Actually, maybe it'd be more appropriate for the speaker to do the brief rundown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just ran down here. My name is John Ledger. I'm with Associated Oregon Industries, and we're here to talk about House Bill 3202, Pollution Control Tax Credit. This is a program that has been in place since the mid-60s. It's helped thousands of companies in the state in their operations, hire people, keep communities supported. The Pollution Control Tax Credit is a credit against income that is granted after a process you go through with the DEQ. And it's not a one-for-one credit. A company has to build something that's related to pollution control, and then they take a look at that facility cost, go through an analysis with the DEQ to see what part is eligible, and then you get 50% of that as a credit. It's spread over 10 years. It ranges from a couple $100, some of the credits, to millions of dollars. It depends on the size of the project. But they go to mostly manufacturing industries, high-tech, forest products, metals, food processing, for the most part, anything that makes something or can produce some type of pollution that you want to reduce. The range of the number of them given out varies year to year widely. In some years, we've had more than 400 companies. In some cases, it's just a couple of dozen. But about 90% of the credits go to facilities outside of Portland. So it's very important to the rural areas, because a lot go to rural areas, wood products, manufacturing, that type of thing, to help support our unurbanized parts of the state. The Pollution Control Tax Credit program is scheduled to sunset at the end of 2001. And so you have to have your construction done by the end of that time, by the end of 2001, in order to apply for the credit.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're looking now to locate a facility here or to do some construction, since it usually takes a couple of years of planning and a couple of years of construction, right now people are making decisions on whether to build here or not, depending on whether this program is extended. So now is really a good time to extend it if we can. It's important for the development of the state. It keeps facilities in the state. If a company's looking at closing a facility here or in Georgia, this can make the difference. It allows expansions and attracts good-paying jobs, because these tend to be manufacturing jobs that help support our schools. Mm-hmm. It's important to pollution control, and a good example of that is the air pollution shed in Portland. Some years ago in Portland, when they had a terrible ozone and carbon monoxide problem, a lot of companies made enormous reductions there. They made reductions using the pollution control tax credit as an incentive, and they reduced their emissions way below what was required because they could save the money to do that. The fact is, they reduced them so low that they were able to take the credit, this amount that they reduced extra, and donate it to the DEQ. So it helps the environment and it helps the economy. Businesses also pay a lot in DEQ fees. Most of the DEQ is supported by fees, and of course they support the economy, and this makes it a little easier for them to do that. There are usually questions about who gets these, and I'm not going to read a long list, but this is a document put out by the DEQ, and it's issued certificates by applicants. This is July 1, 1995 through June 30th, 1998. I'll just read the A's so you can get an idea of who gets these things and where they are. 4B Farms in Brooks, Allen Bodish Inc. in Lake Oswego, Albany Lebanon Sanitation Inc., Alberta Body and Paint in Portland, Alpha Nursery in Salem, Anderson Rogue Cleaners in Grants Pass, Anodizing Inc. in Portland, RJ Disposal in Milwaukee, Mark Arnett in Redmond, Astoria Texaco in Astoria. So it's a wide range of types of facilities to get these, and they do help the economy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Mr. Chairman, Paul Kusher of the American Sports and Paper Association. I'd like to just add three things for the record about why I think this
credit is not only good for businesses in Oregon, but good for the environment. First of all, the tax expenditure report that's prepared each biennium and submitted to this legislature, the one that was submitted to the last session, contains some data about this credit, and it shows that, based on DEQ's data, 35% of the dollars in this credit awarded since 1980 have been awarded to companies who were doing things that were not required by any law or regulation. So it's for a lot of voluntary projects. Secondly, as John touched upon, when a company goes in particular, one of our companies with a very large plant and it has to meet some new federal or state requirement, typically our engineers spend the time to give ourselves a margin of error to predict changes that might be needed to meet future requirements that have not yet come down the road. To some degree, this is a little bit of over-engineering, but it's over-engineering that improves our environment and reduces pollution beyond that of what is required. And then lastly, in our industry in particular, but ours is not the only industry that has used this credit substantially to improve the recycling programs in this state, as the forest products industry has changed and forest practices have required changes in the availability of virgin fiber for paper plants. Our plants in the state of Oregon, all of them have moved to recycled fiber. All of them use some of them use most of their fiber or their source of supply is recycled fiber. And these credits, although sometimes they've been classified as air and water improvement credits, have in fact been the very things that have allowed those plants to convert to be able to use that recycled fiber and give us such strong and vibrant recycling markets. That's also happened in other industries' middles as well, but it's certainly been true in our industry. And like Mr. Ledger, I'd be glad to answer any questions that any of the members have. Any. Thank you.
Any questions? Not. Thank you very much. And I invite Hillary Abraham.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Hillary Abraham, representing the Oregon Environmental Council. The Oregon Environmental Council opposes House Bill 3202, which would extend the pollution control tax credit. We believe that this tax credit may have made sense 30 years ago, but it no longer does. Instead, it forces Oregon taxpayers to subsidize polluters simply for complying with federal law. In addition, we feel that by subsidizing pollution control equipment, we encourage industry to buy control equipment instead of making process changes or taking other steps to prevent pollution in the first place. Tax credits should be provided where we want to encourage exemplary behavior that goes above and beyond legal minimums. Tax credits and exemptions should be made as well focused and as well justified as an outright expenditure of tax funds. And finally, this bill goes in the opposite direction of the recommendations of the Governor's Tax Task Force, of which OEC was a member, which recommended narrowing the availability of the pollution control tax credit. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Other questions? There's no questions.
Thank you.
We will closing public hearing. An opening of first session on House Bill 3202. No amendments. The bill received bipartisan support in the House. I would like to say that I believe personally that the tax credit is not only justified, but is really good policy because we are asking industry to do an important thing, and that is to clean up our environment. That's good for all citizens, so I think it's appropriate that all citizens participate. We passed earlier out of revenue a bill that recognized the environmental impact of a small machine that shredded straw and deposited it in the furrow to prevent erosion. And I think that's very appropriate. That's not something required by law, but in fact does a great deal to hold in place that valuable topsoil that we need for the future. And so this, I believe, is good legislation, and
I would like to just move it on.
Move from the House Bill 3302 to for the Professor Foundation.
Senator Tarnow has moved House Bill 3202 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Just call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Senator Cox?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, House Bill 3202 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Tarnow will carry. We...
They are still discussing amendments. Okay. Should I be recorded as an R? I have a bill going on.
Okay.
May I be recorded as an R? I'm trying to solve a problem out there.
Without objection.
Okay, thank you.
How do you vote?
Aye.
On House Bill 3202.
Okay.
In the work session on House Bill 2022. And we have, anybody want to respond to that? Committee Administrator will explain what the bill is about.
House Bill 2022 increases workers' compensation benefits for spouses and certain children of fatally injured workers. It also eliminates the weekly benefit for beneficiaries of a worker who is permanently and totally disabled, and that was a $5 a week benefit that was considered to be our take. And we previously passed this out and brought it back for unrelated reasons. Reasons unrelated to the bill.
Yeah.
Okay, would those unrelated reasons be?
It's back in our possession as though it had not been here, but we need to move it back to the floor so the chair would approve. Appreciate a motion to,
okay. Mr. Chair, I will move HB 2022 for due pass recommendation.
Senator Wild has moved House Bill 2022 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow moves. Senator Wild?
Aye.
I haven't received the necessary majority. House Bill 2022 is moved for the due pass recommendation. Senator Dukes was the carrier of last time on the floor.
She's more than a little bit confused. I don't know why we brought her back and didn't amend it. I don't even know what it does anymore, but sure. If it was good in June, it must be good in July.
We'll ask you the question right back here.
Yeah, you do that.
Mutual faith. And we'll help.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we will open the work session on House Bill 2477. The administrator's house about 2477?
House Bill 2477 increases the maximum amount that can be credited to the Workers' Memorial Scholarship Account from civil penalties recovered for violations of the OSHA laws or rules. If this fund limit is increased, it's anticipated that an additional $9,000 annually will be credited towards this fund. And this raises the fund limit from $100,000 to
$250,000. Motion.
I'll move HB 2477 to support the pass recommendation.
Senator Wild has moved House Bill 2477 to support the due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Under the due.
Maybe I shouldn't make notes. But according to my notes, I voted on this one June 24th, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a package. Okay. Never mind.
Okay.
All righty.
Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke.
Aye.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Wilde.
Aye.
Senator
Sisson. Aye. Senator Stevens, Necessary Majority, House Bill 2477, move to support the Duke pass recommendation. Senator Starr. Chair will carry.
May I ask a favor?
Yes.
They're writing some amendments that Senate Bill 875. And could you recess and come back and work with the legislative council said that maybe then we would have to do conceptual amendments?
We will. Any idea how long?
I could run down there and find out, but I'm sure it's not longer than 40 minutes. Simple.
We will recess, be in recess until 4:45.
Thank you.
The Public Affairs Committee, and we're going to reschedule Senate Bill 875 for a work session on Thursday. We will be taking up a proposed amendment to House Bill 2989, and we're going into a work session on House Bill 2989.
Oh, I
want. And you recall, Mr. Abrams had proposed an amendment. Since our public hearing, we had negotiations between the proponents, the representative buyer. And if we could have a couple of people come up and tell us what's been worked on and why we should or should not do Ed?
We'll leave in this and this and take out the rest of it?
That's correct.
Up to a brief lead in that
was
taken.
Let me see.
The period.
What's being taken out?
Let's chair for the record, Gordon Fultz of the Association of Oregon Counties. The agreement that we have reached, and I'm hoping that the governor's office will also reach it, is the deletion on page 5 of the bill, section 6. We would propose and agree with the other parties to delete lines 17 through 29 and to the word this section. We leave that last sentence in sub 4 in. So basically the deletion up to the word this on line 29.
Is that clear?
Well, I'd like to know that what you know about this bill. I'd like to know why we're doing this. Is this the one where these local authorities decide what kind of classes are going to be taught so the kids are trained for the workforce in that area, and should they want to move to another part of the country, they're mainly trained for jobs in this area? That's the goal of the 21st Century School Act, Goals 2000, whatever that was, that came in 1991.
I'm Pam Flesh Farley with the Workforce Policy Coordinator for the Governor's Office of Education and Workforce Policy, members of the committee, and Senator Shannon. I think the answer has to be no. This is a piece of new federal legislation that passed in late July of last year, and it's primarily focused on returning adults.
No, so it's not high school. It doesn't relate to high school curriculum?
No, it does not relate to
okay.
High school curriculum.
According to what, they were worried about youth activities and youth in it.
You could probably amend it in those ones.
Oh, no, I already see it. And it says person's experience with youth activities and delivery of workforce activities. And I'm wondering, how does that relate to the youth? are we going to train for the workforce that we do this or educate them?
Members of the committee and Senator Shannon, there is a title or a program that is funded through this federal program that deals with students that are at risk, who have either are at risk of dropping out of high school or who have actually already dropped out.
Okay.
To get them back into education or whatever is their next best course.
We will like to move a conceptual amendment. We're in work session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Booth.
I'll move that we amend House Bill 2989 by, on page 5, deleting lines 17 through 28 and 29 up to the period.
Okay.
I'm
conceptual amendment is removal of, on page 5 of the Ian Gross House Bill 2989, lines 17 through 28, plus that part of line 29 ending with the period after federal act. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I have one question before I move the bill. This school puppy's got a fiscal of $302,470 in free FTE. I'm assuming that that somebody needs an needs permission for the free FTE in a budget somewhere. And so I'm assuming this needs to go to the Ways and Means.
I think according to our rules, that is necessary.
Because they're not going to be able to hire the people unless they have an authority to hire the position. So I will move House Bill 2989-D to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
As conceptually amended.
As conceptually amended. Thank you, Senator.
Senator Dukes has moved House Bill 2989 as conceptually amended to Ways and Means for the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke.
Aye.
Senator Carter.
Aye.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Senator Cox.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. House Bill 2989 as conceptually amended moves to Ways and Means of the due pass recommendation. Thank you very much. Appreciate your work. We have not received the amendments for Senate Bill 875. We're bringing it back tomorrow. Then we'll have the conflict worked out and have the amendments. And we'll throw the business before the committee. We adjourn the Senate committee on public affairs.
You're okay.